You know, in the world that we live in today, and especially among some of those out in the religious world, there are some words that they find particularly offensive. And you might think in your mind about particular words in some religious circles that particular individuals might find offensive. But there's one word that I have found, especially among certain religious folks, that they almost cringe at. You might think, what word is that? And it might surprise you that some people cringe in the religious world. Some people cringe at the word doctrine. They don't like the word doctrine. They hear the word doctrine and they think all of a sudden you're becoming very narrow-minded in your scope of discussion. They hear the word doctrine and they think, oh, you must be a legalist because you're talking about doctrine. And so they have the mentality, they have the idea that some, and I'm talking about some people, and it's kind of a popular idea, that doctrine is not important in religion. And so they have this mindset that you can sort of believe whatever you want to believe. And everybody's okay in believing whatever they want to believe because doctrine is not all that important. And as long as you truly are sincere, and as long as you believe whatever you want to believe, that doctrine doesn't matter to save you. You just believe what you want to believe. And I want you to take that concept, and maybe that's a concept you've heard, maybe that's a concept and a belief that you have. Doctrine's not all that important. That you can be saved without any kind of doctrine and that you can just sort of believe what you want to believe about the Bible. And I want you to let that settle into your mind for a little while. I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about it in relationship to what does the Bible teach us? If doctrine is not important, if it doesn't matter what you believe, then why did Jesus warn us about false teachers in Matthew chapter 7 if it really doesn't matter? Why did the Apostle Paul in so many of his writings warn about false teachers? Why does Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 spend a whole chapter warning about false teachers? Why does John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, warn us about false teachers if doctrine doesn't really matter? You see, while doctrine might be offensive to some people, doctrine is not offensive to God. God wants us to understand how important His doctrine is and how important it needs to be to us. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the sound doctrine of Christ. And somebody says, why are we talking about that? This year, our theme for the entire year of 2021 is stronger than ever. You may remember the first Sunday of this year that we talked about the fact that 2020 seemed to beat us down in so many different ways and steal from us so many different things. And some maybe we were just weaker after all of 2020 that we thought we need something that's going to build us up so that we can be stronger than ever. And so every month this year we have focused on something different where we need as Christians to become stronger in particular areas than maybe we have been before. And so for the month of December, and we set out a year ago, so what would we do for the month of December? To talk about, we need to become stronger than ever in my faith in the sound doctrine of Christ. Why do I need to be stronger than ever in that? What is there about the sound doctrine of Christ that I need to know? And in fact, what does that even mean? When we talk about sound doctrine, what is that terminology? What is that even talking about? Let's just define some terms really quick so that we're all on the same page. What are we talking about when we talk about sound doctrine? What does the word doctrine mean? Some people find it offensive, but the word just means teaching. That's all that it means. It means that which is taught. Is it important that we teach the right thing? Is that important to do? And so the word doctrine, don't let it be offensive to you. Don't let it be one of those words that you think is closed-minded. All it means is something that is taught. But what does it mean when you put the word sound in front of it? And not when you put it. What does it mean when God puts the word sound in front of the word doctrine? It's interesting that the Greek word for the word sound in our English Bibles, the Greek word is the word that we get the word hygiene from. The word sound literally means to be healthy. It is healthy doctrine. Well, what makes it healthy? Well, what makes it healthy is the one who originated the doctrine. If it's healthy doctrine, then would it not be the great physician who would determine what is healthy in doctrine and what is not healthy in doctrine? And so the word sound, it just in its literal meaning, means something that is healthy. So you put these two things together. You put sound doctrine together, and what it is talking about is teaching, that's what doctrine is, that is true, sound, healthy, as determined by God. Teaching that is true, that is correct, that is not corrupted by man, that is free from any kind of errors. It is that fixed body of doctrine that God has revealed for us in Scripture, that has become for us a clear-cut standard for what to teach and how to live. That's what the Bible is. The Bible teaches us what to teach. The Bible teaches us how to live. How else would we know how to acceptably serve our God if it were not for God giving us the Bible? So all I want to do here in this first point is just talk about the terminology and make sure when we talk about sound doctrine, when we use that terminology this morning, that we're on the same page. That we're talking about doctrine, teaching that has been given to us by God that is free from any errors because since it's from God, it's true, it's correct. It is that standard that we've got to follow. But whenever we come across doctrine in the New Testament, what we need to realize is that every time we read about doctrine, it is used in the singular case. The singularity of God's doctrine is emphasized throughout the New Testament to show us that God only has one doctrine. Think about that, and some of you might sit back and say, I don't know, is that true? God only has one doctrine? If you were to go home today and get on the computer or pull out your own Bible concordance, and if you were to pull out a Bible concordance or go online to your Bible software and look up the word doctrine or teaching, and then look it up in the plural, put an S on it. Look up the word doctrines with an S on it. Look up the word teaching with an S on it. Every time in the New Testament that the word doctrine is found in the plural, it is always being condemned by God. Every single time. God does not approve of having various and sundry doctrines. In fact, in Matthew chapter 15, here are the times that it's found. And if you're taking notes, you might just write down the references here. But in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, Jesus talked about those who were teaching as doctrines. There's an S on it. Teaching as doctrines, what? The commandments of men. What were they teaching? Doctrines that they had made up. They were the commandments of men. Paul takes that same terminology over in Colossians chapter 2, and he says, you know what doctrines and commandments of men are? You've got a whole section here in the closing verses of Colossians chapter 2, where he says, here's what the commandments and the doctrines of men are. And as he goes through this listing and this explanation of what they are, he says they are regulations. He uses that word. But they're not God-made regulations. They are man-made regulations. And Paul says they have an appearance of wisdom. Here are these doctrines that man has made up. Here are these traditions that man follows. And Paul says they have an appearance of wisdom. They sound right. They look right. That makes sense to me, somebody might say. Paul says they have an appearance of wisdom. But at the end of the verse, verse 23, he says they have no value. This is God's evaluation of doctrines. This is God's evaluation of man making up his own teachings for the church. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to spend most of our time this morning focusing in on the books of 1, 2 Timothy and Titus. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says, the Spirit speaks plainly that in latter times, some will depart from, you know what it says there? Some will depart from the faith. Well, where are they going to go if they're going to depart from the faith? The faith sounds singular, doesn't it? Where are they going to go? They're going to go, some of them, to doctrines of demons. Again, the word doctrines being used in its plural sense. And so in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9, you have another occasion where the word doctrines is found, and God is warning Christians not to be carried away by various and strange doctrines. Isn't it interesting? Every time you read doctrines in the plural in the New Testament, God doesn't have anything good to say about it. And the reason for that is that in contrast to doctrines in the plural, God has set forth His doctrine, singular, sound doctrine. And He indicates to us that there is only one doctrine that He finds acceptable. And so if you look in your Bible in 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus, and we're not going to look all the way through these. I'm going to put some things on the screen here in just a second to help to allow the Bible to explain for us, what is God talking about? How does God view sound doctrine? And does He really only look at it in the singular? Does God only see one doctrine that is acceptable to Him? And what's interesting, when you read, not just when you read the word doctrines plural, but when you look up the word doctrine or teaching in your New Testament, it's found about 22 times in your New Testament where it's talking about the teaching of Christ, the teaching of God and the doctrine of Christ. And about half of those times, it has the definite article the, T-H-E, has the definite article the in front of it. What does that word mean? What does the definite article the mean? You know, if God had used the indefinite article a doctrine, what would that mean? Oh, any doctrine. It's a doctrine, but it's not the only doctrine. But when God uses the word the over and over and over and over in front of the word doctrine, what does it mean? He is pointing it out. He is narrowing it down and saying, this is the doctrine that is acceptable to me. This is the doctrine. This is the teaching that I want taught. I found it interesting as I went back through this past week, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Here is God, and you won't have time to necessarily write all these down, but I want you to see, how does God describe His sound doctrine? Here's what He calls it. He calls His sound doctrine the doctrine twice. He calls it the good doctrine, the doctrine of God, the gospel. He calls it the glorious gospel. 11 times He calls sound doctrine the faith. 11 times He calls it the truth. Twice He calls it the word. 3 times the word of God. The word of faith. The words of the faith. The faithful word. His word. The pattern of sound words. The testimony of our Lord. The commandment. Scripture twice. The holy scriptures. I want you to look at those. Is that 15? I want you to look at those 18 expressions on the screen. 18 different ways for God to describe for us, to explain to us what His doctrine is. Notice how many of them have the definite article in front of it. How many doctrines does God have? Let me ask you this way. How many faiths does God have? Let me ask it this way. How many truths does God have? He only has one. He only has one. And somebody says, no, you're being way too narrow about this. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us, you know how many gods there are? Ephesians 4 and verse 6 tells us how many gods there are. You know how many gods there are? Ephesians 4 and verse 6 says there's one God. That's it. Do you know how many lords there are? You know how many Jesus Christ are there? How many lords are there? Ephesians chapter 4 says there's only one Lord. How many Holy Spirits are there? Are there more than one Holy Spirit? No. Ephesians chapter 4 says there's one Spirit. Ephesians 4 says there's one God and Father above all and through all and in you all. There's one Lord and there's one Spirit. Is that hard for us to grasp? We easily would understand there's only one God and one Jesus and there's one Spirit. How many faiths does God have? How many truths does God have? How many doctrines does God have? Ephesians 4 and verse 5 says, there is one faith. What is that? It is the faith, the doctrine, the truth, the gospel. God only has one. And so our responsibility is to come into the text of God's Word and allow the text of God's Word to show us and to teach us that doctrine, that God only has one. And I understand there's some individuals that have a mindset that says, no, you can believe whatever you want to believe. Doctrine is not important. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach we could believe whatever we want to believe. And we can teach and believe whatever doctrines we want to teach and to believe. The Bible doesn't teach that because God does not teach that. God narrows it down for us to say, here is the faith, the doctrine, the truth, the gospel. And He says there's only one. In fact, did you notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6 in the reading that was read, it kind of ties in. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3 kind of ties in. That's at the end of 1 Timothy. Kind of ties into 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3 at the beginning of the book. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3, God told Timothy, I left you there so that you could teach others that they are to teach no other doctrine. When God specifies and narrows down the teaching that He wants, He says, I don't want any other doctrine taught. There's only one sound doctrine. And that doctrine, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3, came to us from Christ. It's not just about Christ. In 2 John in verse 9, the Bible says, whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. We're going to talk more about that next week. Next week is kind of a part two of this morning's lesson. But I want you to think about that. Whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Doesn't abide where? In the doctrine of Christ. There are some who have said, oh, that's just the doctrine about Jesus. Of course, everybody should teach the same thing about Jesus. We should all teach that Jesus came from heaven, that Jesus lived on this earth a sinless life. We should all teach that Jesus did miracles and that He died on the cross and was buried and raised again. So the one doctrine is only the one doctrine about Christ. And we should all teach that one same doctrine. But look in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. Does that verse say that it's the one doctrine about Christ? No. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not about Him, but the words of Him, the words from Him. He's the one who has originated truth. It's His truth. And so our responsibility is to come into the text of God and allow sound doctrine to teach us, and to recognize that sound doctrine alone will save us. We cannot be saved by any other doctrine than sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul said about Timothy, you have known what? The Holy Scriptures. What's that? It's the sound doctrine of Christ. He says, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. How can we be saved? The only way that we can be saved is through the Holy Scriptures of God, is through the sound doctrine of Christ. Are there multiple ways to be saved? Are there multiple doctrines? Are there various teachings that can be true about how to be saved? If one group has a particular teaching about how somebody can be saved, and then another group has another teaching about how we can be saved, and another group has a third and a different teaching than the other two groups about how we can be saved, can all three of those be accurate? Can all three of those be truth? There's only one doctrine. There's only one truth. There's only one plan that God has. And Paul says it's the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. There are not multiple paths unto salvation. There's only one. And it's following after the authority of Christ and what He teaches. Sound doctrine alone can help us to become godly people and live godly lives. and to produce that even within our... Did you see 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3, the end of the verse in the passage that was read? The end of the verse says, these wholesome words, these sound, healthy, sound words from God are what produce godliness. It's interesting, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says there are people who have a form of godliness. But that's not acceptable to God, to have a form of godliness. Truly living a godly life can only come about by getting into the sound doctrine of God, by recognizing that sound doctrine alone is what has the words for eternal life. The only way we can go to heaven is to follow the sound doctrine, to follow the teaching, to follow the gospel, to follow the truth. You pick the synonym from that list of 18 that we had on the screen a moment ago, and the only way to get to heaven is to follow what the truth of God teaches. The only way to be ready for the day of judgment is to follow the words of Christ. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, listen to this, Jesus says, he who rejects me. Well, Jesus, how would we reject you? He who rejects me and receives not my words has that which judges him. What do you mean, Jesus? What's going to judge us? John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, the word that I have spoken. You hear the singularity of that? The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. The only way to be prepared for judgment is to get into the sound doctrine of Christ. To not allow ourselves to be influenced by others and what other teachings are, but to recognize that God only has one teaching that can save me. He only has one teaching that can allow me to live a godly life in His eyes. He only has one teaching that can lead me to heaven. And I need to find what that is. As we close this morning, I want you to think, what is my responsibility to the doctrine that God has laid out for us in Scripture? What do I need to do with it? What's my responsibility towards sound doctrine? And I'm guessing that there are some that are here and listening to this that you may not like some of the things that have been said. You may think, boy, this is awfully narrow-minded, this is awfully legalistic. I don't know what terms might be used. But if that's where you are, I want to challenge you. How many teachings has God given to us to be acceptable in His eyes? If I come to the Bible, how many different ways can I acceptably serve God other than how it is detailed specifically in Scripture? My responsibility towards sound doctrine is to know it. To get into the Bible and learn it and know it. Jesus said in John 7, verse 17, he who wills to do the will of God, it shall be made known to him concerning the doctrine. We've got to know what the doctrine is. Not just accept it because somebody has taught it to us. We've got to get in and know it. In fact, in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, it says, God wants all men to be saved. You know what the rest of the verse says? He wants everybody to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let that sink in for a minute. God wants all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. How many truths are there? He said there's the truth. There's only one truth. But what does He want us to come to? The knowledge of the truth. How many knowledges? How many proper knowledges and understandings of the truth are there? Interesting, he puts that definite article not just in front of truth. He puts it in front of knowledge. I must come to know what His doctrine is. And when I know it, I need to cling to it. Hold fast, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Hold fast, cling diligently to the pattern of sound words. Those words God has given to me, I need to cling to them and hold on to them for everything that I can. And not allow others to influence me. I need to protect God's doctrine from those who would come and try to change it. And that's what 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus are emphasized so much. Here are letters that are written by Paul to two preachers, And he's telling them part of the responsibility that individuals have towards sound doctrine is to make sure that you don't preach any other doctrine and to try to help others to not preach any other doctrine, to take what the Bible teaches us and to use it to help correct people who don't teach what the Bible says. Somebody says, boy, that's awfully mean. Listen to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. You know the verse. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says, all Scripture is given to us by the inspiration of who? You heard that verse before? All Scripture is given to us by the inspiration of God. The Bible we have in our laps and that we hold on to is not given to us by man, it's given to us by God. And why do we have it? The rest of the verse says, and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God gave us the Bible for correction, meaning that all doctrines that are taught are not from God. And the only way to get back and to know what His doctrine is to get back into the Bible and allow the Bible to do the teaching, profitable for doctrine, and allow the Bible to do the correcting. It's not up to man to always be right, but it's up to man to come to the Bible, which is always right, and allow the Bible to do the teaching, to preach sound doctrine and only sound doctrine, to practice sound doctrine. If you read through the book of Titus emphasizes throughout that we need to be zealous for good works, that we need to adopt good works, that we need to maintain good works, that we need to be engaged in those things. In fact, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that our lives, listen to this, Titus 2 and verse 10 says, our lives are to adorn the doctrine of God. When people see us, they need to be able to see the doctrine of God being lived out in front of them. Can we not become stronger than ever in our faith in the sound doctrine of Christ? That He only has one truth that He has given to us, one truth that He wants us to follow, one truth by which we can be saved, one truth by which we can go to heaven. You know, sometimes, maybe several times, I have sat down at a table with somebody and open up the Bible on top of that table, and we've sat there and we've studied things that are in the Bible. And after we've studied some things in the Bible, I've had people to say, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but I just feel in my heart that this is what I need to do. You hear that statement? Here's the Bible laying on the table. I know that's what the Bible says, but I just feel that there's something different I need to do. If God lays out His sound doctrine for us in His Word, there's no other place for me to go. There's no other way for me to be saved. There's no other way for me to be ready for judgment and just come and to do what it says. And if to you, if you know the Bible doesn't have the word legalism in it, but if to you that sounds legalistic, you can use whatever word you might want to use. But when it comes to the Bible, the word that the Bible uses is obedient. That I need to come to the Bible to hear what it says and obey what it says. Are we doing that? Are you doing that? Where are you today in your life with the Lord? You know, the Scripture lays out plainly for us what God's path to salvation is. And it lays it out so clearly. The Bible tells us that if we don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we'll die in our sins. We must have faith in what God has told us in Scripture about Jesus, and if we don't, we're doomed. But faith alone is not enough to save us. Bible says that that faith ought to cause us to look at our sins and say, I'm done living in sin, and to repent and say, I want to change the direction of my life. I'm ready to turn my life in the direction of God. I want to stop doing wrong, and I want to start doing what's right. Have you ever made your mind up to do that? Have you ever made that decision? It says, based upon the faith that's in my heart, I can't live this way anymore. I've got to start living the right way. In Acts chapter 2, there were individuals who said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they were told, that's the first thing you need to do. You need to repent. And upon their confession that Jesus was the Son of God, they were told the next thing you need to do is you need to be baptized. You need to be baptized so that at that moment, your sins can be forgiven. Have you ever been baptized? Have you ever been immersed in water? So that at that moment, as those individuals in Acts chapter 2 did, they were baptized for the remission of their sins. They were baptized. They gladly received God's word and said, that's what I need to do. They didn't point to the scripture and say, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but I just feel in my heart that I need to do something different. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized, that's the person who will be saved. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, we bid you to do it today. There's water here today. There's garments. There's towels. Everything is ready. God is calling you to come and to give your life to him. If you're ready to do it today and after you're baptized, he calls us to live and serve him faithfully. To do what the Bible says, to maintain those good works in order that we might be found acceptable to him. Are you a faithful Christian this morning? If you're not, God is calling you to give your life to him this morning, even right now, as together we stand and sing.